Well, I have a really simple message tonight. And why don't I just pray one more time? I don't want to overcomplicate anything. I don't want to get in the way, which is a very big possibility when man is involved. I just would like to pray the Holy Spirit would help me to just deliver the simple message he gave me tonight. So would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for everyone seated here, God. Thank you so much for bringing us together as a family, God. Thank you that you've called us together in the love of your Son, God. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to us, Lord. God, and I'm just a man, Lord. I'm such a flawed man, God, and I have nothing to offer everyone here tonight without your Holy Spirit, God. So please fill me with your Spirit. Please speak through me, God, what you've given me to share, Lord. I pray you just, God, soften our hearts, open our hearts to hear your voice, Lord, and would you be glorified tonight. I pray we'd all be brought closer to the Lord Jesus. We'd all see his love more. We'd know you more, God, that you'd work to change our hearts tonight, God, and move in this place, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So what I wanted to talk to, about tonight, and I struggled to find a good name for this message, but really what the Holy Spirit has shared with me is that something he's been doing in my own life, but he's drawing us closer to him. He's drawing us to spend more time with him, to know God. One of the verses we're going to go over tonight is Jesus said, this is everlasting life. This is eternal life, that you would know the true God and that you'd know Jesus, the one he sent. And you know, there is this incredible thing that can happen to humans. This really, it's an incredible danger and a fearful thing that we can sit in these seats for years and go to church on Sundays. We can go to church Wednesday nights. We can hear God's word every night for years. It can be in our heads and it cannot get into our hearts. And the gospel can be in our heads and it cannot change our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a very real possibility. There's people who know this word through and through, scholars of the Bible, but they don't believe what it says, and inside they're dead. They're as dead as any sinner, any unbeliever in the world. And it's a frightening thing. It's a crazy thing that happens in the human heart. I'm going to read. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 3. I'll give a couple examples in Scripture of the possibility of this happening to us. One of the examples is the children of Israel who were in the wilderness for 40 years. They saw these incredible miracles. They saw a sea part on each side with walls of water on each side, and they passed through as on dry land. They heard the word of God. They had Moses speaking directly for God to them, but they were rebellious. The vast majority of them perished in the wilderness, and they did not make it into the promised land. And this is what Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says. Beware. The first word says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the scripture says here that they heard the word. They heard the good news even. They heard about the Christ, the prophet that would come, but the word did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. So that's something we should consider tonight. We can know this word, but if we don't embrace it for ourselves with faith, embrace it into our heart, we're in danger of it going in our head and not transforming us, not changing us. The children of Israel, they didn't believe God's word. They didn't embrace it for themselves. They didn't stand on it, and they didn't live it. They did not live it. I think that probably the clearest example we see for this is the Pharisees and the scribes. If you want, you can turn to Matthew 22. And Jesus makes this very clear, the danger of this in the human heart. Matthew 22, starting in verse 23. We have the Sadducees coming to Jesus and asking him this kind of ridiculous question, and his answer to them is really profound and maybe a little harsh. But Matthew 22, verse 23. The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said to them, You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. And so Jesus responds to this question to a people who read the Bible more than anyone, probably. Certainly more than the common people. They were religious leaders of their day. And he says to them, you're mistaken. You don't even know the scriptures, nor the power of God. You don't know the power of God. These people had read the Bible over and over again. If you turn over to chapter 23, in verse 27, Jesus goes through all these woes, condemning the Pharisees, who likewise knew the scriptures inside and out. Some of these men would actually memorize the whole first five books of the Bible. They had it memorized in their head. But Jesus, let's just read verse 27 of Matthew chapter 23. He says, Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. You are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. He said, you appear good outwardly. You know the scriptures. Your hearts are like death inside. They're filthy inside. And I think something, if I can bring a main point to this, it's that we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need God to soften our hearts. We need these incredible truths of the gospel to go from our head into our heart. All these things most of us probably know and have known. The doctrine of justification, the doctrine of atonement, right? All these things we know. That Jesus has atoned for our sins on the cross. He's taken my sins as far as the east is from the west. He's paid for them so that I will no longer ever see the wrath of God. Now, is that just something I know in my head? Does that change me? Does that do something to me? Does that bring joy in my heart? Does that change me from the inside, right? The doctrine of justification, that Jesus has paid for my sins, and now it's as if I've never sinned in my life. I'm clean. I'm washed whiter than snow. What does that do to my heart? So this is, if you would turn with me to John 17, this is where we're going to be for the rest of our time. And some aspects I'd like to look at in John 17 is that the gospel, if we truly have embraced it through faith for ourselves, if it's truly in our heart, transforming our heart, it should result in a closeness to God. It should drive us to God, to know Him, to love Him, to follow Him, to have a nearness with Him. It should result in a life that glorifies God, that actually has a desire to glorify God and serve Him. And it should result in joy. There should be noticeable joy flowing out of my life and lasting joy in my life. Let's read this whole prayer that our Lord spoke to us in John 17. Then we'll go back and we'll look at a few aspects of it. John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him all authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in them, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Amen. Amen. The first thing I wanted to point out from this prayer that Jesus spoke is that he comes to the Lord in prayer and he says, Father. He says, Father, actually 6 times in these verses. If you guys know, which I'm sure you do, the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus taught us, this is how you should pray. What did he say? Our Father who dwells in heaven, our Father who art in heaven. And that's really supposed to be the basis for how we approach God, first of all, as family. And that should really be our drive for approaching God. Jesus could have said, our King who lives in heaven. That would have been true, right? It would have been appropriate. He could have said, our Master, our Creator. He said, our Father. That's, as a Christian, how we're called to approach God, as our Father. And this is how Jesus prays. He says, Father, 6 times in this prayer. There should be a closeness with God because we're family. And that's another doctrine of the gospel, right? The doctrine of adoption. That through the power of the Holy Spirit, we've been born again. That God, in his love and mercy, has not only saved us from hell, which we deserve, but he's made us his children. We're sons of daughters of the Most High God. Man, sometimes I read some of these things, like this prayer of Jesus, that I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm thinking, why am I not crying right now? Why am I not yelling for my house, flipping out, overjoyed, right? Why is this not going into my heart? It's because we're naturally hard-hearted people. But, man, that realization that there's a Heavenly Father who loves me so much, he sent his only son to die on the cross for me, that he's watching over me, he thinks good thoughts towards me, he's numbered the hairs on my head, he loves me with an everlasting love. That's who I approach in prayer. That's who, when I get on my knees and pray, that's who I'm speaking to, my Father in heaven. And I pray God would send the Holy Spirit to make these things real to our heart. But Jesus prays to the Father. He says, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's an incredible, incredible statement. And I'm certainly unworthy of diving into it too much. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you would know the true God, that you would know Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. That's the gospel. That's how we're saved, by knowing God. Jesus didn't say, this is eternal life, by obeying God and his commands. That's certainly a part of it. That's an aspect of it. But that's not it. It's knowing God. Because if we know God, if we truly know God, we will love God. If we love God, we'll keep his commandments. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. If we know God, we'll love him. And that's what I think the Holy Spirit has been pointing out in my life, in my heart. It's about knowing God. It's about drawing near to him, spending time with him in the prayer closet, opening up his word, praying with him, being with him, getting rid of all these distractions in our life and just getting, as a famous pastor would say, shut in with God, just getting shut in with him and knowing him, learning his voice, hearing who he is, hearing his heart, and seeking his face. And that's eternal life, knowing God. A familiar section of scripture is Matthew 7 on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. These people said, Lord, we did all these things for you. We did wonders in your name. We cast out demons in your name. And what does Jesus say? I didn't know you. I never knew you. We did not have a relationship. And Jesus says again here, this is eternal life, that we would know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Throughout this prayer, such a big part of it is that God would be glorified, that God would glorify Jesus so that he could glorify God. Jesus says glory and glorified 8 times throughout this section of Scripture. In verse 6, he says, I've manifested your name. Now, a closeness with God. I know in my own life, the closer I am with God, the more time I spend with him in prayer, the more time I spend in his word with him, the more I want him to be glorified. The more I just am praying, God, show everyone how amazing you are, Lord. I want everyone to know how great you are. I want you to be glorified through my life. Use me. Use me for your kingdom. And a closeness with God, I truly believe that is the outflow of our whole walk as a Christian. That's our outflow of serving God, of glorifying God, of our ministries. A closeness, an intimacy with Christ is the fire that really drives our whole walk with him. It drives our love for other people, our relationships around us. Again, our ministries that we're involved in. It's so important to be close with God. The closer we are with him, the more I believe we'll have such an intense desire to glorify him and glorify his name and to serve God. And Jesus says in verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Another aspect I wanted to take out from this prayer of our Lord is he says, I've said these things for your joy. He says it in verse 13. He says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. A closeness with God, an understanding of his gospel, it should result in a joy. There should be a noticeable joy in our lives as Christians. When we've had these things totally transform our hearts. If I walked around every day truly with all my heart believing and embracing that I'm a child of the Most High God, I'm a child of the King of Kings, all my sins have been washed away. It's like God looks at me as if I've never sinned, just like his perfect son, Jesus. That I'm accepted. I'm accepted by God. That it's finished. His work on the cross is finished. And I'm going to heaven. What would that do to me if every day I embraced those things 100% in my heart, that they weren't just in my head, but by the Holy Spirit, they've 100% gone into my heart. I should be overflowing with joy, overflowing. And so many of these things, Jesus says, I've said these things that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Just some of the truths of this prayer alone. He says in verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus is saying, I want the world to know that as much as God the Father loves Jesus the Son, that's how much God loves us. How much is that? How can we understand that? How much does God the Father love Jesus? That's how much he loves us. What should that do to our hearts? And shouldn't all these things just draw us so close to God to spend time with him, to know him more, to have these things impact us and change us? And I truly believe that's what the Spirit just wanted me to share tonight, is that He wants us to embrace these things through faith for ourselves, that we would draw close to him in faith, that we would know him, that we would spend time with him. He's our Father, to draw near to him. And let me just ask this, is there a lack of joy in your life as a Christian? Can you consider the possibility that you haven't totally accepted these things of the gospel of Christ into your heart? You haven't totally embraced them as truth, that they're not real to you, that you know what the Bible says, yeah, God loves me so much, he sent his only son to die for me. I know that he'll take anyone, he'll embrace anyone, he won't cast anyone away who comes to him and repents of their sins. That he looks on me as if I've never sinned. He looks on me with perfect love, as if I'm his son who's never sinned, Jesus. Have you truly embraced that in your heart? I think possibly God is saying tonight, some of us need to get in the presence of God and allow him to let these things truly sink into us and allow him to let these truths change us, that they're not just in our head as Christians, but that we've embraced them in our hearts. And maybe we need to get shut in with God and not leave until these things are real to us, more real to us. I know that's constantly a prayer for me. God, don't let these things just be in my head. I'd rather know one page of this book and embrace it and believe it and walk it out than know the whole thing start to finish in my head, you know? But I pray tonight that by the power of the Spirit, that he would do a work in our hearts. Anyone who's not walking in the grace that God has for us, anyone who's not walking in grace, who's still trying to earn God's favor, we can't earn his favor. We never could earn his favor. It's a free gift. It's a free gift for us. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, God, that anything you spoke tonight to anyone here, God, that you would make it real, that it would be planted in hearts, God. Lord, that you would bring forth fruit by it, that there would be lasting fruit. God, I pray we'd be men and women who pick up your word in faith and embrace these things for ourselves and walk them out, Lord. Please don't let us be people who just take up seats, God, and hear your word, and it doesn't change us. It doesn't change our hearts, and it doesn't draw us closer to you, Lord. Father, would you pour out your Holy Spirit on us, God? Bring us closer to you. God, help us to know you. We don't want to know about you. We want to know you. God, Lord, bring us to your Son. Show us who Jesus is. God, and may you be glorified in our lives. As we grow close to you, Lord, would you show the world who you are? God, help us to just show the world how incredible your love is for them, God, how amazing you are, how powerful you are. I pray that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit, God, and send us out, Lord, and may a closeness and a love for you be the outflow of our lives, God, and may all know that we're your disciples by the love we have for each other, by the love we have for you, God. I pray, Lord, as we gather in groups to pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be moving, that you'd be stirring hearts, God, convicting, speaking to us, and showing us what you would have us to do, Lord. And please be honored and blessed as we pray and worship you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's break up in groups. If anyone wants prayer individually, I'm just going to be up here in the front. But let's pray together. Let's get into groups.